Okay, let's dive right in then. Today, we're tackling a topic that's, well, it's really important, isn't it? And often quite hidden, what anxiety and depression actually feel like. We're aiming to go beyond, the standard clinical definitions here to really try and understand the raw lived experience.
Exactly. And for this deep dive, our guide, our source material, comes from excerpts from the Faith Beams GP podcast. So it's approaching this whole thing through a specific faith-based lens, which offers, certain insights into the struggle and perspectives rooted in that particular framework.
Right. So our mission today is really to unpack what this source says, the descriptions it uses, the scale it talks about, the personal stories.
The faith viewpoint, definitely. And the guidance it gives. We want to help you, the listener, understand this weight it keeps mentioning and the ways it suggests maybe navigating through it.
Yeah, that word weight, if that resonates with you at all, if you've ever felt something like that, then this deep dive is really for you. The source actually opens with a pretty powerful message, doesn't it?
It really does. Straight away, it's saying, you are not alone, you're not forgotten, you are not broken beyond repair. It sets a tone of, well, validation right from the start.
So how does it then start to define these things? Anxiety, depression, not just clinically, but the feeling of it.
Well, that's the key. It focuses right in on the experience. For anxiety, it uses descriptions like this constant inner buzz.
A buzz, okay.
Yeah, or a state of endless what-ifs, that feeling of a mind that's just racing, and it won't switch off.
Right, that nonstop mental hamster wheel,
Yeah.
okay. And depression, how does the source describe that differently?
Depression is painted more as a deep fog or really profound lack of motivation,
Yeah.
sometimes even an emotional numbness. So it's less about that frantic energy, maybe more of a heavy stillness or just
Yeah.
emptiness.
A fog and a buzz. Those are quite distinct images. And the source connects these feelings to real physical symptoms too, right? Things people might recognize in themselves.
Absolutely. It lists quite a few common ones like sleep problems. Maybe you can't sleep at all, or you just sleep way too much.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Changes in appetite, either losing it completely or maybe overeating. That awful sense of hopelessness or helplessness. Even physical things like headaches or stomach achies that don't seem to have another cause. And just feeling detached or like everyday tasks are, well, overwhelming, just too much.
And to kind of show that these aren't rare experiences, the source includes some statistics, doesn't it?
It does. Pretty sobering ones, actually. It mentions that 1 in 5 adults experiences mental illness.
1 in 5. Wow.
Yeah. And for anxiety disorders specifically, it says they affect over 40 million adults just in the U.S. And then globally, it calls depression the leading cause of disability worldwide.
Those numbers coming from the source, they really underscore the scale here. It makes it really clear this isn't some fringe issue. It powerfully backs up that message. If any of this sounds familiar, you are definitely, definitely not alone.
Right. And building on that, the source gets quite personal. It talks about what it calls the invisible weight.
Ugh, that phrase, hiding it in plain sight. I think that will resonate with a lot of people. The idea of someone smiling, showing up, maybe even praying, like the source mentions, doing all the things.
But inside, feeling completely broken,
Yeah.
or that feeling of holding it together for everyone else but crumbling inside, the source really takes time to validate that internal struggle, to say, look, this invisible weight is real, it's heavy, even if nobody else sees it.
It really makes the experience less abstract, doesn't it? It brings that hidden struggle out into the open, at least in the description.
Exactly. And then, given its perspective, the source naturally shifts towards the faith element. It tackles a question that, well, must be central for people of faith going through this. Where's God when your mind feels like a battlefield?
That's a huge question. How does the source address it? Does it use scripture?
It does. It brings in specific biblical references. For instance, Psalm 34:18.
Okay, what does that say?
The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The source uses this to suggest God isn't distant in pain, but actually draws nearer, close to the brokenhearted.
So, not absence, but presence.
That's the interpretation presented, yes. Another one it uses is 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4. This highlights God as the source of comfort. Praise be to the God who comforts us in all our troubles,
Comfort in trouble.
so that we can comfort those in any trouble. So there's this idea of receiving comfort, and maybe even that enabling you to comfort others later. It frames comfort as something actively provided by God in this view.
And the source personalizes this even more, doesn't it? By talking about Jesus's own experiences.
Yes, that's a significant point it makes, that Jesus himself, experienced deep human emotions. He wept. He agonized in the garden. He felt overwhelmed. So, from this faith perspective, it suggests that even the divine understands profound sorrow and struggle. It makes God feel more relatable in suffering, according to the source.
Okay, so establishing that foundation of God's presence and understanding, what comes next? Does it offer encouragement?
It does. It shifts into messages of encouragement and maybe some mindset shifts. A really big one is simply giving permission. It is okay to not be okay.
That's crucial. Pushing back against needing to seem perfect.
Exactly. It argues that, from its perspective, God's grace isn't based on how happy or together you look on the outside. And it tackles the feeling of weakness if you feel weak because you're overwhelmed.
Yeah.
It brings up the prophet Elijah, a major figure, right? But in 1 Kings 19, he hits rock bottom. He actually wants to give up. Mm-hmm. The source uses this to say, hey, even strong figures of faith felt overwhelmed. It doesn't mean you lack faith or strength.
That historical example really humanizes it, even within that faith context, makes it feel less like a personal failing.
Right. And this section sort of culminates in this direct, powerful affirmation it offers. You are seen, you are loved, you are valued.
Seen, loved, valued. Okay. So after mindset and encouragement, does it get practical? Does the source offer actual steps?
Yes, it moves into what calls bridging faith and function. Practical, actionable things for healing. It's not suggesting just faith or just practical steps, but a combination.
Okay, like what? What kind of actions does it suggest?
Well, one is engaging actively with faith practices, like daily scripture meditation. But simple, pick one verse it suggests and just breathe it in. Focus on it daily.
A concrete practice. Got it. What else?
Limiting social media comes up. Taking breaks, especially it notes, if you find it makes you feel worse.
That's a very modern, relevant piece of advice.
Definitely. And then moving your body. Simple things, a walk, some stretching. It describes this as a way to kind of release what's locked inside.
Physical release. Interesting. And what about professional help? Therapy.
It addresses that head on. It explicitly states, therapy is not a sin. It actually encourages talking to a therapist or counselor, perhaps a faith-based one, if that aligns, seeing it as a valid tool alongside faith.
That's a really important clarification from this particular source, bridging those two worlds. Any other personal practices?
Yes. Writing things down. Journaling. It calls it prayer on paper, which is quite a lovely image.
Prayer on paper. I like that.
And finally, using music. Worship through the weight is the phrase it uses. Suggesting music can be like a weapon against that mental warfare, a way to shift focus or express things.
Okay, so a whole toolkit there. Scripture, social media breaks, movement, therapy, journaling, music. And these practical steps seem to lead into another big theme in the source, community.
A very strong emphasis on community and support, yes. Yeah. It frames isolation as like a tactic the struggle uses against you. So the advice is actively fight against being alone in it.
How does it suggest doing that? Finding community.
It gives several concrete ideas. Joining a support group, maybe an online one if that's easier.
Makes sense.
Simply calling a friend or family member. You know, basic connection. Being honest with someone at church if that's your community, fostering real connection there.
Vulnerability within that space.
Exactly. And even starting a prayer partner group. It adds, you can do this virtually too, which makes it more accessible for people.
And it encourages asking others for their wisdom too, right?
Yes, it suggests actually asking people, what helps you when you feel mentally heavy? For crowdsourcing support and ideas within your community.
So we've traced the source's path here, from trying to capture the feeling and the sheer scale of anxiety and depression.
Through the deeply personal struggle, that invisible weight.
To its specific faith perspective on God's presence within that pain.
And then landing on these practical steps, both personal and community focused, for navigating it all.
It's definitely a journey through a particular lens, blending vulnerability with a faith framework. And the source kind of wraps up with another scripture reference, doesn't it? Psalm 23.
That's right. The famous passage about walking through the valley. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. As the source uses it, it seems to be a final thought on finding companionship, finding courage. Even when you're in those really dark mental places, God is with you, is the message there.
So thinking about everything this source covers, understanding the feeling, the sheer number of people affected, the validation of that hidden struggle, the specific faith viewpoint on God's nearness, and then all those practical and community suggestions. How might taking all that in seeing this widespread struggle through this particular faith-based analysis How might that change how you, the listener, approach your own experiences, or perhaps how you approach others who might be dealing with anxiety and depression?
It's a big question. How does acknowledging this invisible weight, which the source says is shared by so many, maybe pave a path toward more genuine connection, more understanding, perhaps even healing?
Something to definitely reflect on.
And just to circle back to where the source began and essentially where it ends, remember that core message it wanted to convey. You are not alone.